You'd take your Bible back over to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. As we continue to talk about resting in Christ alone, we're going to be talking about resting in Christ for our success. We touched on this just a little bit last week. Resting in Christ alone for our success. We can see here as the Apostle Paul in the book of Colossians, as he prays for the believers here, in verse 9, he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." The Apostle Paul really wanted the believers there to know the will of God. And as we think about what we've been talking about in Christ alone, we've recognized that we can rest in Christ alone for our salvation. That Christ fulfilled the law for us. He delivered us from the damnation of the law. And he is the road to success for us as a believer. You know, man's idea of success, the American idea of success, and God's idea of success can be two different things, to be sure. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1 and see God's idea of success here. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is the new leader. Moses has died, as verse 1 tells us of Joshua 1. Joshua has been placed in charge of leading the people of Israel. And notice what it says here in verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Lord, we do ask for your help as we've opened your word. I pray that you would teach us, that you would help us. Help us to understand these truths which are critical on a very practical level in our daily life. Lord, we look for you to show us areas where we're lacking, areas where we've been kind of trying to make it on our own and muddle through. Help us to see how we need you and how to get our wrongs right. Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. In my Bible, I have circled the word "then" both times here in verse 8. Then, because the instructions in the first part of the verse are essential to the prosperity and the success that is promised here. That Joshua would dwell on the Word of God, that he would meditate day and night on the Word of God, it says. And that he would do it, it says there in verse 8, that thou mayest observe to do. God wants us to do his will. So as we talked last week about doing the will of Christ, we saw that God has a plan for our lives. And this ought to be our focus. We saw that we can know his will. We talked about the general plan of God, that God has a general plan for our lives. But he also has a specific plan for me that's unique from you. And we need to seek to know the will of God. If you know the verse, let's say it together if you know parts of it. Psalm 37, 23. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God really does care about what you and I do. He does care. He didn't save us. Remember, as we talked last week, he didn't save us to live recklessly. Remember the exchange? Remember the illustration with Jesus? Remember that? A guy I talked about? You know, and talking about exchanging my life. He's on death row, and he gets my life, my record, and I die his death, take his sin, his sentence on myself, and talking about how Jesus did that for us. Jesus took my death. He took my crimes on himself. And I got his life. I get his righteousness. And that's why God calls the believer a saint. Because we are saved and our sins are washed away and we have Christ's righteousness on our record, on our account. And so we are saints. The Bible calls us saints. God refers to the believer that way repeatedly in the scriptures. And so let's go back to Colossians and chapter 1 there. Colossians and chapter 1. So our focus should be finding and doing the will of God. For these new believers here in Colossae, that's one of the prayer requests the Apostle Paul had in verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, heard what? Heard how they got saved, verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And so for this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. God wants me to know his will. God wants you to know his will. Are you willing to ask him for it? Are you willing to seek him for it? Are you willing to give your attention to him so that he might open up that will to you, that plan, his purposes for your life? And so that ought to be my focus, doing the will of Christ. But we talked also last week about depending on Christ, my help. The thing about the Christian life is it was never meant to be lived apart from God. The Christian life will be an utter disaster if we are not resting in Christ, resting in his power, not just to save us, but to do the will of God. You're here in Colossians, and we're going to notice here verse 11. In the things the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm praying for you, and the things he wants for these believers at Colossae, he says in verse 11, strengthened with all might. Would you read now with me? According to his glorious power. Wow. Strengthened with all might. Paul's desire, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit here, his desire is that they would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. You know what? God wants to give us what we need to do his will. Whether it's the things God has for me specific in my life, or whether it's the things God has for you specific in your life. Whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, whether you're, you know, I don't know if you ever get past being an adult, but whether you've graduated from adulthood, whatever stage of life you're at, we are needing to live in dependence upon God, to find our strength in him. That is the key to the Christian life. Notice just back maybe one page in the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 13. Philippians 4 and verse 13. It may not even be a page back. And it says here, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can do the will of God. And so it's important to recognize Christ alone for my success. Without him, I can do nothing, but with him, I can do his will. I can know his will for my life. I can do it with his strength. He is my help. He is my help. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 1, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. In other words, God is willingly giving wisdom to those who come asking in faith, depending on God for it. God says, I will give it. I give it liberally. That's very generously. He gives it. Not stingy, but generous. He is willing to give wisdom to those who seek him for it. You see, the thing is that God's provisions for us to do his will are not necessarily always given, even though they're available. God gives as we trust him for it, as we seek him for it. God is willing to help us to do and to be what he wants us to be. But if we're living on our own, if we are neglecting to depend on him, we'll go on without the provision that is waiting. God wants us to seek him, to pray for him, pray to him, and seek for his help, his strength in our lives. Please notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, that's just maybe 10 pages or so after where we were. 1 Thessalonians 5. Please notice verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. The Bible says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. In other words, cleanse you, set you apart completely. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God says this is what he wants for us, right? And verse 24 goes right with this. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. In other words, this isn't just a powerless request that God says, I will do this. You know, when we think about, let's just think for a moment about verse 23. I mean, can you keep yourself blameless? I mean, can you keep yourself, just your body, your spirit, your soul, absolutely blameless till the return of Christ? Well, quite frankly, on our own, it's impossible. It's an impossible task. I can't keep myself holy. I'm gonna struggle. I need help. And we recognize we need help. The Bible says the help is right there. God is our helper. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He not only calls us, but he enables us to do what he's called us to do as we depend on him. And so it's important for us to recognize that we must depend. You see, you can have a Christian who's saved but not walking in dependence upon God. I need his help every day, and I need to depend daily on him. I must be seeking him. There must be something going on all the time between me and God where I am praying and I'm depending and I'm asking and I'm seeking, and he will give. And so Christ alone for my success. In other words, the point I'm trying to make is that if we aren't seeking and depending on Christ, we will not succeed. We will not succeed in our Christian life. We are going to be bound. We're going to be failing. We're going to be not measuring up to the husband, the father, the wife, the mother, the son, the daughter, whatever the case. Our witness will be dim. Our life will be plagued by sin. But we can do the will of God. Capital C, I want you to see that we have Christ alone for my success. He has delivered from sin by Christ. I can be delivered from sin's power. He is my victory. So he should not only be my focus, doing the will of God, right? But he is my help. He's my helper, but he's also my victory. He's my victory. Let's go over here to Romans chapter 6. We see here that we can have victory. God's desire is that we would have victory over sin. And it says in verse 1, "What shall we say then? The wonderful grace of God, being saved by grace alone. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Should we just go on living in sin and expect God's grace to just simply cover all of our failures? Well, God's grace does cover our failures. He does cover our sin, but that's not God's plan. His plan isn't for us to live in sin or to walk in sin. His desire is for us to walk in victory. And he has provided that victory. It says here in verse 2, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" If we're saved, we're dead to sin. And have you ever tried to tempt a dead man? You know, they're fairly unresponsive. They're not attracted by the most tempting of smells or tempting of meals or pictures or whatever kind of pleasure. They're dead. And God says if we've been saved, we're dead to sin. We are dead to sin. And because of Christ. So we don't have to serve sin. We don't have to respond to temptations. We can simply depend on Christ and walk away unscathed. And so it says here in verse 6, notice verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth," read it with me, "we should not serve sin." God's desire is that we would serve him, that we would live to do what's right and not serve sin. So we can see here from other places in the Bible, but particularly Romans 6, that we do not have to serve sin. If we are living in sin as a believer, it's because we're making the choice to voluntarily serve sin instead of choosing to depend on Christ and be free from that sin. Notice verse 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, the problem is, if we are not focusing on the will of God, depending on Christ, we're not going to have victory down here, right? We aren't going to, you can't skip these steps and have victory because we're not yielded. And so we don't have the power and strength, because if we're yielded and we're seeking God, we can access the deliverance that he has. One more verse I'll read here in chapter 6, verse 16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" Who are you going to yield to? Are you going to do the will of God? That brings us to the next point, capital D, daily pleasing God, my privilege. So let's go back to, actually, hold your place in Romans, because we're gonna come back to this near vicinity. But let's go back to Colossians. We can see as Paul prays and as he writes here, he talks about the deliverance that we can have. Verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." But then when we come to this spot of pleasing God, notice verse 10. "That ye might," how about we read verse 10 together? "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, if these other things, if this is my focus, if he is my help, and I'm walking in his victory, then I'm pleasing God, and it's a privilege. It's a privilege to honor God, to serve him, and it's his strength, it's his grace working in me to help me to do that which is pleasing in his sight. And so it's a privilege. It's a privilege to do the will of God. And that is the opportunity we have in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now, Romans 7. Romans 7. I know that last week I shared the illustration that we find in Romans 7, and I'm not going to go through that whole part, but the illustration talked about how we used to be married to the law, and it was rigid, and it was cruel, and it damned us, but now we've been freed from the law, just like a woman would be freed, just like a wife would be freed from her husband if the husband died. We're freed from the law and all its requirements so that we could be married to another. And notice verse 4, chapter 7 of Romans. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. Would you read now with me? That we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Serve in newness of spirit. You see, it's a privilege to serve God. It's not like being in an awful relationship that's drudgery. It's a joy. I have a new spouse, a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves me, who cares for me. He's reasonable. It's my privilege. I serve him. I'm motivated by love. I serve in newness of spirit, not the oldness of the letter. And that brings us to our last point. Dwelling in the presence of Christ, my joy. So here's the success for the child of God. Doing the will of God, depending on Christ, delivered from sin, daily pleasing God, and dwelling in the presence of Christ. It's a joyful place to be. To walk with God. To dwell in his presence. Please notice Colossians chapter 1. And verse 27. Colossians 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, the Christian life isn't just Christ for you, although he is for us, but it's Christ in me. Christ in me. The Bible talks so much. Christ is not an impersonal God, an impersonal Savior, or just a truth to believe. He is a person to love. He is a person to follow. He is a person to fellowship with, right? There's joy in a loving relationship. And that's what the Christian life is designed by God to be, is a loving relationship. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Please notice chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 6. Chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You see, it's not just after him or following his example, it's with him. There's a closeness. There's a companionship. And chapter 3, verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid, where? With Christ in God. We are with Him. He is with us. There is joy. There is joy in His presence. Psalm 16 tells us that in Thy presence is fullness of joy. It's a joy to walk with the Lord. And so, Christ alone for my success. It's not just Christ alone for my salvation. He not only died on the cross 2,000 years ago, but He is alive and walking with those who have opened their heart to Him and who are seeking that fellowship daily. Are you going to be a successful Christian? Are you going to walk with God? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for this prayer that the Apostle Paul was praying for the Colossian believers, that they would know the will of God, that they would be pleasing to the Lord and do His will. Lord, I pray that You would just help us to be that same answer to prayer, that You would guide our steps and that we would be tender and submissive to You. Lord, I thank You for this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.